everybody, and welcome to the Footy Brains Pod. I am Jacinta, and we are here with Daniel today. How are you, Daniel?
Yeah, pretty good. Definitely had a great week. Obviously, captaining Hines makes the weekend a little bit better. But yeah, really keen to kind of rejig my team a little bit, especially with, you know, some pretty notable players needing to be traded. But we'll get into that, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. I love that you touched on Hines there. What a way to close out round eight with Hines getting 124.
Yeah, absolutely huge. Like, we were at the Raiders game and he was pretty much in everything. So, yeah, deservedly 124. And thank God we captained him, right?
Oh, I know. We were sitting there and just watching that score tick over 100 was the best moment ever.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, the Raiders copping 40 points was not great, but, you know, getting the fantasy scores to come with, you know, Hines is still good, still a good feeling. Yes.
Yeah, so I think it was about 15% of people, was it, that captained him this week? So there should be a lot of happy players out there.
Yeah, a lot of happy coaches. Not so happy coaches that captained, you know, Cleary or SJ, because I think they were the next two most popular, but, I mean, hopefully you had Hines. Hopefully you had him and got his score at least. Otherwise, you're probably a bit back behind some players or some coaches this week.
Yes, absolutely. Should we talk about SJ now?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go into him.
Yeah. So SJ, not quite a good round for SJ like it was for Hines. SJ got, what was it, in the 50s, I believe.
Yeah, low 50s, had a bunch of missed tackles. I don't know, like, obviously he has the Achilles injury that he's kind of nursing. I don't know if that's really influencing his scores or if this was just an off game for him, because he did have two big scores before this one. So it's not like it's a horrific score either, and it's terrible for him and he's a must trade by any means. Like, 50 is still a pretty good score. I think it's just you might not be putting the captaincy on him, like, week in, week out, especially when you've got Hines and, you know, Cleary coming back into the picture, even Haas as well. But yeah, I think it's just a down game for SJ. I'd still be holding him and yeah, just hope he's named is the main thing this week, because you just don't want him to be rested with that Achilles injury at this point in time.
Yeah, I had that bit of a gut feeling on SJ that coming back from a bit of an injury, that sore foot might not be his most confident game. And I'm very glad I went with my gut on that and left him. Yeah. I mean, 53 is nothing to scoff at, but definitely not what we know SJ can produce.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, same with Cleary.
Cleary had
similar kind of game, not his strongest.
Yeah, if you watch that game for the Panthers, Cleary was still coming back. Obviously, he's just coming back from that hamstring injury. He was a little bit off the pace. At least he was tackling confidently, which is the main thing, and he was doing a lot of the in-game kicking. So that's always good to see, especially coming back from a hammy. You just don't want to lose those base stats from him. But I think it was just the more attacking play for Cleary. I mean, they still got the win, but it was just a bit clunky for him coming back into this team. But yeah, he'll be fine. I don't think it's going to be a huge issue for him. If you got him in your team, you're just holding him until Origin comes around now. So yeah, we'll wait and see in a couple of weeks' time what we do with him.
Yeah. The other captain option that Footy Brains Pod put up was Harry Grant. So if we've looked at three of our four captain choices, Hines was obviously the winner there. And how did Grant go?
Yeah, he nabbed a try, scored 54. I think he was on a 60, actually, before he got downgraded. So I'm not sure what he lost 6 points in. But he actually had a pretty good game. Harry Grant played pretty much the whole 80. And like I said, scored a try. He just had a few demerits from some missed tackles. But, I mean, if you've got him, you're not going to be selling him anytime soon. So, yeah, probably not going to be a captaincy option going forward until, I don't know, we see some more attacking stats come out of him. But this was a pretty attacking game for him, and he didn't really tick over 60, which is a bit unfortunate. But, yeah, we'll see how he goes in the future. But a hold for now.
Excellent. Another couple of wins this round. I had Angus Crichton as a notable rock star this round.
Yeah, absolutely huge. What, an 86 from him, scored a meat pie in there, plenty of tackle busts. And it mainly came from offloads, I'm pretty sure. Like, he had a few offloads in this game. The Roosters absolutely dominated the Dragons on Anzac Day. Yeah, what more can you say? You've got to pick up Crichton. He's just going to keep getting yeah, bigger and bigger scores. Probably not going to be scoring 86 every week, but he'll definitely be scoring around the 60 mark week in, week out. And he's still a tick under 600K, so he's still buyable if you don't have him yet either.
Yep. Fifita was another good scorer this week with a 91. He's quite expensive though, but it's nice to see that Fifita is getting some of that form back.
Yeah, he's been playing off the bench for the last couple of weeks, and this is the first game he played but still didn't play 80. I'm not too worried about that, because when you look at his scores, he still scores 50 every week, even with limited minutes. So Fifita's a great buy if you can get him in. Just how are you going to get him in at the moment? He's 820K. He's probably going to be the cheapest he will be, because I think he's dropped a little bit of cash since he started. Only 20K he's dropped, but like, you can't really get him much cheaper than he is now, really. So if you can get Fifita in, that's great. But, you know, you've got Origin coming up. It's a lot of cash to try to make it, make up in your team. You're probably going to have to break your team a little bit to get him in. But yeah, it's so hard to get these big guns in. It's probably going to be one of the ones that you're probably not going to get in for Fifita, even though he would be good. There's just so many other edges like Crichton, like Bloor. You know, there's a lot of good edges to bring into your team that he's just not valuable enough at the moment.
Yeah. Were there any other winners this round for you?
Oh, winners. I think Bateman playing 80 at lock for the Tigers. He's a pretty big winner this week. And we did say he was a buy on last week's pod. It was just, he was more of a pod play at that point in time, just because we don't know if he's going to hold this lock spot at the Tigers. Obviously they got done in by the Broncos this week, but if he holds that spot and can play, you know, 70 to 80 minutes week in, week out, he's going to be a definite buy this week. So if he gets named at lock again, I think most people will be jumping on him this week. Unfortunately, he's only named at edge, but he should get that dual position middle and edge around 14, I think it is. I think it's around 14 that they get that. So yeah, hopefully that hopefully holds his spot until then.
Yeah, nice. Another one that's quite highly owned is Iro, and he had quite a good round. He had a 53, which I wouldn't be too disappointed with for a player in that 400K range.
Yeah, I guess the only thing, like, he's obviously well owned at the moment, but like, if you don't have him, can you get him in still? I think so, at 424K. Like, obviously, he's an absolute gun at center. He did a lot of work as well against the Raiders. Obviously, they held them out scoreless, the Sharks. But he was in a lot of the running out from the back. You know, those sets off the deep kicks from the Raiders, he was the one running him back in, not just the wingers. So I think Iro's base stats are going to be pretty good going forward. And he's getting amongst the attacking stats as well. Plenty of tackle busts. He even had a line break. Like, I think he's still a buy, and I think he holds this spot now. I don't see Talakai coming back in at this point in time, now that Iro's had a few good games under his belt. So, yeah, I think he's a pretty safe, not going to say must-have, but pretty safe, you know, option to get in your centres.
Yeah, well, 45% of people agree with you, so yeah. I think that's calling pretty safe.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Let's move on to maybe some of those players that weren't quite as appealing this round and had a bit of a lower score. Ouch when you look at Taylan May.
Yeah, he was looking pretty good at the start of the season as well, Taylan May. The first couple of rounds, I think he was coming off the back of a 60 in round one. Like, he looked really, really good, but since then he hasn't really performed, averaging around the 30 mark, not getting a ton of attacking stats, but at the same time, Cleary has also been out, so that might coincide with Cleary, you know, not being around the squad. I wouldn't be rushing to get Taylan May out. I think if you've got him, he's probably a hold. I think he should be averaging, you know, in the low 40s once Cleary gets a bit of his form back and hopefully a bit more ball comes his way. But yeah, this is just going to happen sometimes with these centers. Like, the same thing happened with Tungal. He had a pretty down game in this one as well. I think he scored in the teens as well. So I wouldn't be too worried about Taylan May. Just one of those scores that you're going to get from time to time with centers.
Yeah, definitely. And his brother also had not so much of a good game.
Yeah, Terrell. Probably the only must trade this week, Terrell May. I think everyone's going to be getting him out of their teams this week. It's just inconsistency with minutes with him. You just don't know what he's going to get week in, week out. Like, if he gets at least 45, 50 minutes, you've got to hold him. But off the bench, when you don't know what Robbo's going to do, you just can't hold on to that because he could get 16, 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes for a 16, and you're just stuck with that in your score, especially for someone that's over 600K. You're probably better going sideways from Terrell May to like a Bateman or something like that, just so you can get consistency in scores. Because Terrell May, like, I'd love to have him in the team, but just going to be way too inconsistent. I'm sure he's going to have other 60s and 70s over the next couple of weeks. Like, I'm sure Robbo will give him minutes from time to time, but it's just not going to be consistent enough for him to be a safe hold, unfortunately. So, yeah, on the chopping block this week for sure.
Yeah, unfortunate, because he's very highly owned. I'm sure there's a lot of coaches out there that are going to be wondering what to do with him. So, yes, we'll see. Lomax was another one who had a bit of a disappointing round.
Yeah, Dragons just got done in, unfortunately. Still managed a 30, so I wouldn't be too disappointed if you brought him as a bit of a pod. Just didn't get his usual, you know, tries and tackle busts in this game. So I wouldn't be selling him or anything like that. It's just, yeah, he's playing for the Dragons. They're going to have some weeks where they don't play as good. So, yeah, he's a hold for now.
Yep. Any other disappointing players that you had?
I did have Turbo. He was a bit quiet. It was kind of an interesting game, the Manly Para game. Obviously, Manly ran away with it in the end after a few brain explosions from Para. Just a bit quiet from Turbo. I did notice that Garrick had quite a good game, though, back at centre, and he had that concussion in his rolling average, which is why his price is down by like 90K at the moment. So Garrick's looking pretty good, especially when Turbo goes and plays Origin, which he most likely will in a couple weeks' time. So unfortunate for Turbo, a bit quiet, but Garrick looks like a good beneficiary in this Manly team as long as he stays at centre.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you were up the Eels when I checked in at one point, and then I looked at the end of the game and it had totally flipped and Eagles had taken it away. Was that someone had been sent off?
Yeah, two send-offs in the last 20 minutes. It was not great. Penasini went off for 10, and then as soon as he came back on, Sivo got sent for 10, and that was pretty much all she wrote. But, yeah, enough said about Parramatta from the last couple of weeks, I think. Too hard to talk about them at the moment.
I mean, as a Raiders fan, I can't talk, so.
Yeah, we're both going to be in the pits for the next couple of weeks, I think.
Definitely. My other one that was a little bit disappointing is I'd picked up Chester as a bit of a cheapie.
Yes.
And he had a really low score and an injury.
Yep, he's done his hammy. NRL Physio has him gone for at least 4 weeks with a grade 2, so he's going to be a must sell this week. Very unfortunate for him as well because he has had no luck with injury history. Every time he comes into this team for the Cowboys, he just seems to pick up injuries after a couple of weeks and be out for long periods of time. So yeah, Chester, he's going to be another one that everyone's selling this week. But I guess the positive news is there's going to be a lot of players to bring in. Obviously last week there was a bunch of new cheapies that people were eyeing off and we said to wait a week. I guess this week is probably the best week to pick up a lot of these guys. Like guys like Weeks, he picked up a lot of the kick meters for the Raiders. Obviously they got done by the Sharks, so his position might not be set in stone. So one to watch for TLT, but if he keeps those kick meters, he's a great buy, KO Weeks. And Armstrong as well at the Knights, the fullback there, he played very well, scored a try against the Dolphins and looks like he should hold his spot. But again, we'll wait for team list to see how some of these guys pan out.
Yep, definitely. Lots of implications from that we'll see how they come through. Any other low scoring fruit from this week?
No, not really. They're the big ones that I had. There's a few, I guess, players to keep an eye on for the next couple of weeks. Like Bostock, he had a bit of a down game, but if you've got him as a bit of a cash cow, you probably give him one more week. If he doesn't get, you know, a 40-odd, he's probably going to be a sell. Same goes for Ethan Strange as well. He only managed 14, so his break-even now is around the 30s. He's going to be one that you might need to move on, otherwise you're going to start losing cash in him as well. But it's a good time to look back at your team and kind of think, okay, how many more weeks have these guys got to go before they max out their cash potential and then be sells? So guys like, you know, Salmon and Hughes are those kind of players. Same with Finifuliaki when Lukey comes back. Yeah, those kind of guys that are just sticking around in your team. Just be wary that they're going to have to be sold in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yep. In terms of injuries, obviously it was Week's first game with him coming in to replace Fogarty, and he had a pretty good one, actually. I was quite happy I picked him up in my team, so that was a win for me.
Yeah, he might be the most brought-in player this week as well, KO Weeks, as long as he's named, like I said. I think he's going to be a pretty much must-have. When you're getting 400 kick meters and 20-odd tackles, those base stats, getting you 30 every week at a basement price, yeah, you've got to have that in your team.
Yeah, 20% of coaches picked him up last week, so I'll be interested to see if that number jumps a lot more this week as well, or if most of the people eyeing him off brought him in last week.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that the half of those 20% probably had him from round one and just didn't change their team, or just, you know, gave up on fantasy. So there's probably not that many coaches that have him yet, but like you said, yeah, there will be plenty of coaches that pick him up this week.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else of note before we move on to our try or try harders?
No, that's it for me.
Excellent. Do you want to go first with your try and try harder?
Sure. Righto. So I guess for my try, I had a look back. Obviously, captaining Hines was a pretty big one, but I think the best one that I had was trading Lussick to Jaden Brayley this week. That was my big try. Jaden Brayley came out with a 54, and it was all in tackles, basically through the middle. Played the full 80, and Crossland came in and played lock. So I think Jaden Brayley is going to be a pretty popular buy as well. So pretty happy with him. My try harder is probably going to be my trade situation after this round. Now, I've got Chester in my team, I've got Brendan Smith in my team, and I've also got Terrell May in my team. So all three have to be on the chopping block this week. And my trades, I'm going to be struggling going through Origin this year. So like I said to Josh last week, I think I'm just going to roll through Origin, not care about buys, and just see how my team goes. Just because I don't have the availability of trades to be able to fix my team for each buy round. So I'm just going to wing it and see what happens.
Yeah. What's your trade situation looking like? How many have you got left?
I'm going to have 19 after this round,
Which
is, sub 20 is not ideal before we even get to round 13, but it is what it is.
Yeah. We'll I call that a try harder. Definitely.
Yep. For sure. What about yourself?
My try this week was my overall score. I got a 981, which I was really happy with. And I jumped, huge. I think it was about 12,000 ranks. So I'm now in the top 20. I'm 18,000-ish.
Yeah, huge.
So that was my try. Obviously, a lot of that came from captaining Hines, but also bringing in Weeks. I got a good score from him, which was great. My try harder is going to be a joint try harder for us this week, Daniel, because on Wednesday I messaged you and I said, I've got a gut feeling I need Jolliffe. And you replied and you're like, nah, don't break your team. Don't do that trade. I mean, it's up to you. Go with what you think. And I went with your opinion and I said, no, I'm being silly. Jolliffe is a bit too much of a risk. And then he absolutely smashed it with, 60-something this week. So my try harder is I got to trust my gut more.
Yep, fair. Jolliffe, he's come out as a surprise package for sure. Would you say he's still a buy? I mean, he's 670K, scoring 50s and 60s. Pretty regularly with good minutes. Would you say he's still a buy at this point, or do you think he's getting a bit too expensive?
I think he's gone up just a bit too much, and I'm now feeling like it's buying him at a premium, and I don't know if it's going to be sustained. If I'd bought him 40, 60, 80K ago when he was
low 600s,
high fives, I'd absolutely be killing it. But now I don't know if I would take the plunge on him now.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, the Titans did have a pretty good game and beat the Warriors, but do I think he's going to consistently score 50s and 60s? Probably not. I think, you know, they've got some other middle forwards that'll start eating into his minutes, but for the time being, yeah, you'd absolutely take that.
Yeah, I wish I'd gone with him 2 weeks ago, but I think that ship has sailed for me, unfortunately.
Yep. Next time, I'm just going to say to everyone when they ask for advice, just go with your gut. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, it's a safe answer.
Yep, I'll sit on the fence all day.
Yeah, thanks. All right, well, I think that's all from us. Have a good week, and we hope you brain it.